Nikola Jokic was great again. Starters won their minutes. Look, we're going to have to talk about Faku. We got to talk about Faku.
You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Thanks for joining us on a late Friday night after the Nuggets' loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. Just me tonight. Adamara is very tired from a long week. A lot of stuff going on, late nights at the bar. So, just me tonight, wrapping up this edition of Locked On Nuggets for the week. Hope you guys had a great week. Hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll get to all that and more. Thanks for making us your first listen each and every day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much to everybody who has signed up for YouTube. We have gained like 250 followers in the last week on there. Subscribers, go to YouTube, subscribe, turn on notifications. You can join the show live. It's a great experience when Adam's on. It's an okay experience when it's just me. It's pretty good when it's both of us. Make sure to go to YouTube and subscribe. We appreciate you guys so, so much. The Nuggets lose tonight. 122-118 to the Memphis Grizzlies. And I don't really know how else to put this one, except you've seen this one before. I'm going to get into all of the conversations about what you need to know. Let's start with just giving credit where credit is due. Ja Morant was spectacular. He was absolutely incredible with all of his twisting moves. 38 points, 6 boards, 6 assists for Ja. 15 of 26 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3. Did wind up a -3, which is not a thing about Ja. It means the Nuggets were good enough to beat Ja Morant even when he goes for 38. Jaren Jackson Jr. goes for 20-5, including 2 of 4 from three-point range when he shot 28% from three this month. Zaire Williams goes for 17 points. The Grizzlies have guys on guys on guys on guys on guys. Like, they have so many guys. And that's a big advantage in this game, right? Because the Nuggets are so shorthanded. The Nuggets starters were still great because, also for giving credit, Nikola Jokic with another triple-double, 4 straight, 26 points, 11 rebounds, 12 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Guys, he shot 11 of 16 from the field, had 3 offensive rebounds. So some of them were his own misses that he was able to get and get back. 2 of 4 from 3, a pretty flawless performance with a plus-minus of 0. They weren't able to win his minutes, and the reason they weren't able to win his minutes was because of a stretch with Faku Campazzo. Look, I'm just going to go ahead and get this out the way. People have said that, like, they want me to talk about this, so I'm going to talk about it. Like, I'm just going to talk about the issue. I'm going to try and get this out and get this straight. There's this idea that, like, I hate Faku Campazzo. I will say all this stuff again. I haven't talked to Faku Campazzo. I don't know anything about him. There are certainly players in the league that I've not enjoyed covering that there's been tension with, but you cover them professionally. It doesn't matter if I like them or not. I don't have to like them. They don't have to like me, right? I don't even have that relationship with Faku. Faku's been on the team the entire time that the pandemic has been on. And with the pandemic on, there's been absolutely no opportunity for me to talk to him. So I don't have anything personal against him. There's nothing personal here. It's a matter of, from the very beginning, people were very much wowed and wooed and impressed about, oh, look at him go, like, oh, just a fight in him, and oh, it's all the stuff that people like about March Madness. It's all the stuff that people like about Hoosiers. It's all the stuff that people like about these stories, you know, and the flash, right? The behind-the-back passes and the nutmegs and all these types of things. And look, even if I didn't think necessarily that his brand of basketball was conducive to winning, but the results were inconclusive, one, I would probably change my mind. Like, if the results were conclusive that he helped, I would just be like, look, I always look at it and see weakness, but there's definitively something that works here. There's nothing that works here. And what's been crazy to me is continuously how it's always been painted as if there's some sort of really complex thing going on here this season. Just, like, super complex this year. Like, well, okay. It's the whole bench unit. It's the combination. It's him and JaMychal. So JaMychal goes out, and the minutes are terrible. Well, you know, it's him. It's that he doesn't play any minutes with Jokic. They lose the minutes with Campazzo. And do you know how bad the minutes have to be for you to lose minutes with Nikola Jokic. I look tonight, Austin Rivers has a great net rating when Campazzo's not on the floor. Right? Bones Highland has a positive net rating when Campazzo's not on the floor. Zeke Nagy has a positive net rating when Campazzo's not on the floor. And tonight was like the most egregious one. Tonight really was, I think, a bellwether. Like, this is a moment for Nuggets Nation, for fans at least. Because there was kind of this like, okay, that's it. There's been a lot of those. Like, a lot of you guys have been telling me that you've seen what I've seen. You know, and a lot, like, I'll be honest, like, a lot of the guys in the media room, because they like his whole story and, I don't know, like, whatever, they've stuck it out and they've tried to resist this. And I've been told that, like, I have a weird thing against him. Guys, if there was a different problem, that's what I would talk about. If the problem was not, like, I don't know how you watch this game. It's not, even if you did not have the numbers, even if I was not able to tell you the plus minus, you could watch this game and go, they had a 5-point lead. Who came in? Oh, that's right, Campazzo. Now they're down double digits. What are you going to do? Like, this is entirely straightforward. It literally, tonight, sometimes it's a complex thing of like, basketball is complicated and all these people are interacting. And I tend to lean towards that. I do a lot of this plus minus analysis day to day for stuff across the Action Network. What works and what doesn't, right? And so I'm always kind of like looking at these things and trying to figure out what's the underlying issue. I wrote an entire thing about how the Spurs defense was better with Kawhi Leonard on the bench. And that seems insane until you went back and do the research and you actually watched the clips and it was true. And I don't know how you watch this and not realize that this is absolutely the situation. Campazzo was a minus 23 in a game that they lost by 4. They were plus 19. Plus 19 in the minutes where Facu Campazzo did not play. How? I don't know how you can be that bad. I don't know how you can take a unit that has Nikola Jokic. The problem is, like, part of this, I will tell you, is basketball culture is always be like, look, it's not on that guy. Because you want to protect your teammate and be like, no, I could have played better. I could have done my job better. And that's respectable. Again, this is not like Campazzo didn't shoot 0 of 10. Like, Campazzo didn't have 18 turnovers, right? Like, Campazzo tonight was a minus 23. He was 0 of 3 from the field, 0 of 3 from three-point range. He took no two-pointers. He missed all his threes. He only had 2 assists, which is low for him. 2 rebounds. He had 1 turnover and 2 personal fouls. Like, that stat line doesn't tell you anything. But the reason that I pay attention to plus minus is it tells you whether it works this season. And maybe it'll be different next season. Hell, maybe it'll be different with DeMarcus Cousins. That'd be a wild turn of events, but maybe. But this season, when Facu Campazzo, above all other players, has been on the floor, it has not worked. I can give you any measure, but I could also just show you. And there was clips tonight that everyone was sharing about the lack of spacing that's been going on. So this is an entire thing. And it shouldn't be made about one guy. That's not fair, right? Like, Brendan, number one Campazzo guy on the DMVR show, talked about how, like, the starters could have been better. And I do lean towards that, right? It's, look, the starters know how good they have to be. They were back in the game. It was a winnable game. They got it within range. They couldn't close the door. The Grizzlies went cold when Campazzo went out. They had momentum, and they couldn't convert. They had... Like, everyone freaked out on Will Barton. He dribbled the ball off his leg. It's a problem, right? It's tough. I think Barton had a really good game. I think the criticism on him was nuts. But they could have done more. However, if the bar is just, you just got to figure out how to win games until Jamal gets back. That's literally the goal. It's like, you can worry about being the best version of yourself when you get Jamal Murray back in February. Late February. Hopefully not March. Otherwise, I'm going to look dumb. But right now, it's just, can you win? And you can win if Facu Campazzo doesn't play. Like, it's not, I looked at it, the numbers tonight, to be like, okay, is it just that the minutes that those guys play with Jokic? No. Because even in the minutes in which guys don't play with Jokic and don't play with Facu and lose, they don't lose by 20 points per 100 possessions. It's just not that bad. It's not fair. I don't think it sucks. I genuinely don't like having this kind of a position. I genuinely don't, because I think that most problems in basketball are holistic issues that have to be solved through multiple conduits. I think literally the Nuggets have enough to win if just they don't have this problem dragging them down. I think it's literally one problem that drags them down. Okay. There's a lot of questions about Malone. I want to answer that in the second segment. I will explain to everyone asking why we don't ask the questions you guys want after the break. Because first I'm going to sell you something. I'm going to sell you BetOnline, and I'm not going to do it this time. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year, and there's a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for making this part of your day. Matt Moore with you on a Friday night. Hope you guys are enjoying a great weekend, as most of you are when you're going to hear this. Those of you in the chat, thanks for hanging out with me. Really appreciate it. I am going to get to some questions in the chat because this is the topic that Look, we got to talk about the Capazzo thing. I don't know what else. I could talk to you about it. You know, Aaron Gordon's not a great matchup on Ja. True. Probably needed more Davion Reed tonight. True. They struggled to get Jokic the ball in the fourth. Well, they were trying to make other things happen. There's these things, but first two segments, we got to talk about this Capazzo thing because minus 23 is an abomination. Like, that is someone described it as a war crime. Okay, so here's a question. Kyle asking in the comments, I just don't understand why Malone never gets ranted about like this by the media. I completely agree about Faku, but it's just the same thing for Malone, just stretched over seasons. There's another one that says about, like, I've gotten a lot of questions tonight about why doesn't someone ask Malone about this? Okay. Here is the challenge of what I'm trying to describe to you. Malone knows it, and we know Malone knows it, and Malone knows that we know that he knows it. So in asking this question, I believe very firmly in this concept that my job, number one, in covering the Nuggets through this capacity is I'm supposed to be a conduit for you. It's my job to ask the players and coaches the questions that you guys want answered. And your question is, why do you keep playing him? Okay. You have to do this in such a way that you're going to get an actual answer that you want. You need to think about when you ask us to ask about things. Is there something that you want to know, or is there something that you want expressed, or is there something that you want done? Because I'll tell you this, me standing up at a press conference and going, Coach Malone, what do you have to say to the millions of Nuggets fans for playing Faku Campazzo when he's a negative every single time? That's grandstanding. That's making it about me, and that's going to look bad. And that is an effort to embarrass both Malone and Campazzo. Okay. Now they read all the social media that you guys express, and there are ways definitely to like talk about it. I wasn't in the building tonight. I had an NBA bet stream for action. Okay. So I couldn't be in the building tonight. If I'd been in the building, the question afterwards would have been the numbers all indicate the Faku, the Nuggets have struggled when Faku's been on the floor this season. What do you agree with what those numbers reflect? And how does it change? And I might ask that later. The thing is that after covering him for this long, I'll tell you this. If he's on the defensive, he's going to blow him off. Even though, I'll tell you, Malone pays more attention to numbers than about, I would say, 85% of coaches in the NBA, in my experience. He knows. He just does. He knows. However, he's going to stand up for him. And he's going to reject the idea that he should be beholden to a plus-minus. That... Okay, Campazzo's been a negative four games in a row. Okay, well, Jokic was a zero tonight. Was Jokic not good enough? Like, once you start from the premise of this number is not meaningful in the instances in which I've evaluated it, you will move on from that. So I think, like, this is the question that's being played here is Joe says, I understand why you can't ask Malone. I think there's ways to ask it, but I just want to stress that if you're going to want us to ask something, that's reasonable. If you're going to want us to stand up and be like, why the fuck are you playing this guy when he sucks? That's not going to get anywhere. The whole objective with journalism is like, you have to be able to get to somewhere. And that's tricky. And sometimes you have to ask hard questions. I've asked them before. I've gotten the cold stares. I've done the stuff. However, it's also got to be one of those situations where there's going to be an outcome. Like, what you really want is you guys actually want for someone to stop, make him stop. Like, that's what you want, is you want someone to make him stop playing Campazzo, which I understand. I don't have a reason for you for why he continues to play him. I do think a lot of it is that he doesn't believe that Bones Highland is ready to play point guard, because Bones' turnover rate would probably be extremely high. And turnovers, as you know, make Michael Malone go a little crazy. That's going to make him go a little insane. Does the starting group need a true point guard? Why can't Monty stick with the bench unit and bump Faku out? Start a guard like Reed or Bones or whoever. I don't think that's a bad idea, Segababa. That's not a bad idea. So I would tell you that we're not ducking the tough questions here. There's been tough questions asked. It's that trying to find a conduit, especially when a guy's struggling. I'll also tell you this. It'd be a lot easier if Campazzo's box stats were great, right? If Campazzo was shooting 38% from three and like dishing, like all of the numbers were really good. And I think Campazzo's 3-point percentage is actually pretty good. Maybe that's like a conduit, right? But like, that's one of the things, is if Campazzo was averaging like 16 points and 10 rebounds or 10 assists off the bench and they were still getting killed, you could be like, hey, clearly like Faku's giving you something. Why isn't that translating into wins? Is it just the defense? Like, you could ask it in such a way. But you have to be able to do these questions in such a way that you're actually going to get the answers that you want rather than just venting. DrawQuick 2014 says, does Tim need to save us? I'll say this. It's a touchy subject, and I'm known as like the guy, right? So I haven't been like, hey, so are you going to get rid of the guy that's like literally a negative every single night and everyone's a positive without him? I haven't done that. And I probably won't do that. Because there's other things I'd rather talk to them about. I would say that it's unlikely. I can't in any situation conceptualize someone wanting to trade for Campazzo. I'll also say this. I don't necessarily know that at this point Malone is sticking with him because he's a Malone guy. Like, Kyle makes mention that he's like a Torrey Craig, that he just sticks with him. I don't know that that's it at this point. I think he literally is like, I have to have a point guard out there. I have to have someone to set the offense. Like, we at least have to be organized. And he's not wrong on that. Like, Bones can't organize the offense. He's not experienced enough. Austin can. And that would be my counter, is like, I think Austin Rivers is probably who needs the minutes. I think Austin's been good this year. I think Austin started off struggling to shoot, like a lot of people did. I think Austin's had COVID. I think Austin had the infection. I think Austin's lost his grandmother. I think Austin's been through a lot. And I still think Austin Rivers is an NBA guard. And I think that NBA guard can absolutely... Now, the other option might be literally just to start Rivers and move Monte back to the bench. One of the problems with that, I want to get into this real quickly before we go to break. The problem with all the changes that people suggest in taking away from the starters to help the bench is, this is what you risk. You risk making the minutes with Jokic not as good. That hurts you on multiple levels. One, you need to win those minutes by a lot, because whenever he sits, you're not going to be as good. You are probably going to be a negative when Jokic sits. That's how important he is. Okay. So even if you can make it better with those other guys, you're taking away some minutes of the best players around Jokic. The other thing is, you literally have an obligation to your MVP to make sure that his minutes on the court are optimized. That, like, you have the best minutes. That's why tonight was so unforgivable for me, for, like, having Campazzo out there with him. Like, oh my God, like, you are winning these minutes. You're doing well. Just don't put Campazzo in and you should be good. But that's, like, the problem. Segababa notes, Malone and staff are way smarter than us and has more data. I would love to hear his thought process on Faku. Look, I'll say this. I brought to his attention in 2017, Moutier's last year. I said, literally, I was like, well, I'm sure you know this, but I was just talking to him and I was like, you know, Moutier has a negative net rating with everyone. And he was like, well, not with Jokic. And I was like, no, with Jokic too. And he was like, really? And that doesn't mean that like he hasn't looked at it. Malone's looked at everything. Again, Malone passes himself off as not an analytics guy, and he uses them what I think is the right amount. Now, he's still going to ignore the stats that he doesn't think fits what goes with how he views the game. And I have to defer to him on that. Because as you may know, he's an NBA coach and I'm not. So there is a certain level of like, look, he just knows what he's doing. I do think that there's probably a blind spot here, but I also think it's about the roster limitations. Again, I've said this from the very start. If they had just an actual NBA backup point, just a normal, and this was I'll say this too. This is a calculated decision by the front office because there was a lot of questions for them going into the summer about, okay, hey, you're going to be without Jamal until at least February. What are you going to do? And their decision was basically to not make that decision, was to be like, we don't want, and there's reasons for that that are not about now, because everyone's about now. You lost to the Grizzlies and Faka was minus 23. They're just barely over 500. Their concerns about that have more to do with the long term and the tax and their roster moves and their flexibility. You sign a guy and you commit assets to him, you have to manage around that. And they wanted the flexibility. And I think that was a large part of it, because you'd be having to give a guy this role in these minutes and then be like, by the way, no matter how well you play, when February comes, you're going to be superfluous because we already have Monte Morris. That doesn't really work. Aiden says, do you see any veteran point guards available? The only one that I really can think of is Corey Joseph in Detroit. That's a good example of a guy that I think is gettable. Adam will absolutely kick me in the face for saying this, but DJ Augustine in Houston, I think would actually be a pretty good replacement. Good shooter, can run the offense, totally fine. Adam hated DJ Augustine's time here in Denver back when they were very, very bad. The Nuggets sorely missing the Jokic-Murray two-man game at the end of games. The end of these games are a total disaster right now most of the time. I totally agree. That's definitely a problem, which we should talk about in the last segment. We'll get to all the other stuff as I wrap up here about the Composo thing. The last couple of stuff that I'll say about this is that somebody commented, like, I've been waiting for this. I haven't been waiting for this. You know, they signed him and it was like, oh, that's like cool. Like, they got an international legend. And then, you know, you kind of like watch him and I was like, man, he's really small. And then like everyone was so in love with him. And I was like, oh, it'll be funny if I'm just like a little contrarian. But then like I started watching and I genuinely was kind of against it. And the only reason I go back over this is there continues to be just resistance against me no matter what. Like, no matter how many times I'm wrong on lots. I've been wrong. I was wrong on Jokic. Like, I was wrong on Jokic like six different ways. I was wrong on Jamal. True story. I texted two members of Denver media. One of them was Adam. And before the 2020 bubble playoffs, and I said, and the Nuggets had slumped into the bubble, right? And then they were slumping when the bubble, season got suspended, and it didn't, they were really up in the air. And I said, I have a hot take. I think Jamal gets traded this summer. And then Jamal scored 50 like three times in the playoff series. I've been wrong, but I've been right about this. And it's been frustrating that there's been some sort of painting of this as a personal thing, and that somehow, no matter what, it has to be that I'm off base about this. I'm not. It's been a problem. The Nuggets got to resolve it. Dalija? I'm sorry for not remembering your name. Dalija? That seems right. P. What about Jeff Teague? Love that. I would love Jeff Teague. I think it's a good call. Jeff Teague is not good now. He's just not as bad as their current option. Let's take a break. We're going to come back, and I want to talk about the starters issue and getting the ball to Jokic and all those things. We'll do that when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, I want to tell you about Built Bar. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. It makes it easier to stick to your New Year's resolution because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it because it doesn't taste like a chemical spill, unlike some protein bars. You want to eat healthy, but it gets boring. Well, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, and chocolate's never boring. They also contain only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 net carbs. They've also got 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar with 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So, if you're not a fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. And there's so many good flavors to choose from. You got coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, that's my favorite, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, many more. In fact, Built is always coming out with new limited time offers, so check built.com. often to see what's new. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for joining us on the weekend. Thanks for sticking in. And thanks for listening to two segments about a guy that was minus 23, because I just needed to get this out tonight. Let's talk about some more of the context of this game. The Grizzlies bench was really phenomenal, but if you notice, a lot of this was not from the scoring perspective of it. They were able to get basically stops, and they went with defense. Like Brandon Clark only scored 6 points, but he was a plus 16. De'Anthony Melton off the bench scored 21, but he was only a plus one. Like, they won the Brandon Clark minutes because of defense, and they were built around some of the minutes that they spent with guys like Steven Adams and Conchar. Actually, I thought was really good tonight, even though he didn't shoot well from the field. In the fourth quarter, this is becoming a whole thing. I continue to think this is really confusing. So they get to the fourth quarter, and Jokic has to come back in to try and the starters have to come back in to try and save it after the bench has murdered it, and they struggle to get Jokic the ball. And then people get mad. Like, there was a tweet tonight about, like, less Barton, more Joker. Okay, but they know that. And they're sending four guys at him. Again, I said this before. The other guys have to make a play. Like, they actually have to make a play. Like, they really do have to do something different. And they have to challenge them to the point where those guys are like, we cannot do this double team. Like, we have to start guarding this other guy. And AG's done that, right, in the Clippers game. Like, AG was starting to get some respect and made big plays. I think, why is De'Anthony Melton getting a more favorable call than the reigning MVP? I don't know what to tell you about the officiating. It's crazy. I do think that one thing that they can do is operate more from the perimeter. Like, Jokic has been driving really well, and he's live, and he's in good shape, and he's able, like, when they start doing that, they're getting lots of easy stuff. So if they're double teaming him in the post, bring him up top. This has been said in the comments. The easiest way to fix this is Jamal Murray two-man game. And I know it's been rough. I know it's been painful. You guys are about, at most, I'll say this, at most, you are 6 weeks away from Jamal Murray being back. And at that point, this looks a lot different. It changes. So there's a lot of, that's going to make a bigger difference than anything else. Is Jamal coming back? You play Composite less in that instance because Jamal will play a lot of just raw minutes at point guard. And that opens up a lot more possibilities. And in the end, if they're going to send four guys at Jokic, Jamal's just going to cross over and pull up. And he may not make it because he's coming back from ACL surgery, but it's a threat. And that's going to actually get them working. Robert Rodarte says, Jokic initiating the pick and roll an option. It is. The problem is they're going to blitz him again, right? So then you're going to have a situation where you got Jokic, if you run it high, you're going to have Jokic high with two guys basically blitzing the ball handler. And he's trying to make a pass over, and he did it last game, but then Green's on the roll. The passing mechanics of that are something that Jokic can definitely do. It's tough, right? Like, you will get deflected. They have gotten balls deflected. Like, Jokic has turnovers a lot because of that, because they put so much pressure on it. ISO Jokic to the top of the key against their big, fuck it. It's not a bad plan. You know, they do struggle, but part of this is also Joker tries not to over-rely on the three-point shot, which I think is good. You don't want him chucking, right? There's a little bit of that where you can just, what they really need is an option they can spam. That's what they need, is that this one mechanism that you can't adequately defend, that every time you're going to have a sequence. And with Jamal, two-man game, you have that. You don't have it with Will. You don't have it with anybody else. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Bones in some of these late-game situations, but I understand Malone's concern about the turnovers. And Bones wasn't good tonight. You know, I'm not trying to point out, this is what is tough, is like, okay, Composo was the problem, okay? But Bones didn't make a shot. Zeke Nnaji was 1 of 2, very timid, with 1 rebound. That's a problem. Bryn Forbes is 4 of 13. I will guarantee you that Bryn Forbes will shoot better. If I'm wrong and, like, Bryn Forbes just can't shoot in Denver, altitude is a mysterious effect on the world. There's no reason. Like, Bryn Forbes will play better. So that's, like, a key. But I also don't think that Bryn can run pick and roll. Like, you need a pick and roll point guard. And that's really what they're missing. I do think a key thing here is they need to run. The ball needs to be in Monte's hands at the end of these games. They got to get Monte the ball And they do need to run pick and roll, I think, at the end of these games, because it will at least get the defense in rotation. And that will help, I think, quite a bit. What makes you think Faku is the one who will lose minutes? Seems like wishful thinking. Everyone loses minutes. When Jamal plays, like when Jamal gets his minute restriction lifted, probably sometime late March, and he's up to like 35 minutes a game, everyone loses minutes, right? Because like Monte's not going to go from playing 35 minutes a night to playing 15. Monte's going to go from playing 35 minutes a night to like 20, which is good. But there is like a, there will be a point. I will say this, as much as you all may be frustrated with Malone, I, based off of my long history of covering the man, I do not believe that it will be like, oh, Murray came back and Campazzo's minutes didn't shift at all. He just stayed with Faku in the same role. I don't think that happens. Because honestly, like he was a little bit more of a bit player last season before Jamal went down. Like we saw that transition. Do you think Monte has leveled up and will dominate benches now? No, he's just the same reliable, really good player that he's always been. Just good shooter, consistent, low turnover, just a good player. If you want to know what's up with Boogie, if you're questioning, if you didn't catch the game and you're questioning, I tried to hint at this and I had mentioned it on the show. He's dealing with injuries, and that's why they haven't signed him yet, or hadn't signed him yet. They signed him, but he went through shoot around and still didn't quite feel good enough. It makes sense because the worst thing for them to have happen is he goes through shoot around. He plays in the game. He re-aggravates the injury. He's out 10 days. You have a 10-day contract. Like you have to see in these 10 days whether or not Boogie Cousins is worth signing for the rest of the season. Like this matters. This is important. So I'm going to be very curious to see what happens on Sunday with Detroit, with Bryn having settled in. Bryn apologized to Michael Malone for his shooting tonight, and they'll have Cousins. We'll see how that works out. We'll see what that looks like. This is a rough one. It's two losses in a row. Memphis is real good. Memphis did win the season series tonight, so they get tiebreaker. So I'm obligated to let you know that. But look, again, all you got to do, you got to beat these bad teams that you're going to face. Get to the end of February. Get Jamal Murray back. Hopefully he comes back at something close to 75 to 80%. The bar here for the Nuggets being 5 to 7 games over 500 versus 2 games over 500 is very low. Very low. They just got to survive long enough until Jamal gets back, and I think they get there. Brighter days are ahead. You guys have a great weekend. Thanks for joining me on Locked On Nuggets. Make sure to check out the YouTube channel, subscribe, rate, review on podcast and Spotify. Hit us up everywhere. We appreciate the support. You guys are so great. Thanks for joining me late on a Friday night at almost 1 o'clock in the morning. We'll be back on Sunday night wrapping up the Nuggets game versus the Pistons. Adam and I'll be back then. Until then, make sure to check out all of Adam's great work at DMVR, thedmvr.com. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you guys again next time on Locked On Nuggets.